Is Worms the best Team 17 game? It's Amigos, episode 333. Hi, everybody. Welcome to Amigos. I'm John.
And I'm Aaron.
And today, Aaron, we're going to be talking about Worms.
Ooh.
Now, Aaron, there's, you know, Worms sort of falls into the category of creepy crawlies. You know, you've got your spiders, you got your snakes, you got your worms. Which of those sorts of kinds of animals creep you out the most?
Well, I hate all those, by the way. Man, I didn't expect to go in this direction. I hate all bugs. I hate them. Worms, you know what I really don't like? I don't like spiders. I don't like bugs at all, but I really don't like the millipedes and stuff. Those are particularly disgusting. Also, slugs, they don't do it for me. I mean, worms, if you've been fishing, you know, you sort of had to get intimate with the old worm. Mm-hmm. I don't like it. I don't like it.
Kill worms. Just straight up kill them.
You got to get, but I mean, it's for the better. It's the greater good so you could feed the fish, you know, and get a hook. True. Now, I hate fishing. I should mention that, but I have gone fishing because everyone here fishes. Mm-hmm. And my dad was smart enough to get us on. We use lures now. We don't actually use the old worm, but everybody's got the, you get down to the place that sells the little Tupperware bowl of night crawlers. You put those things on your hook. Pretty gross, but did you ever do much fishing with that stuff?
A million billion times.
Really? And, I figured that.
I never really got over it. I'm sort of like you. I just, it's to properly put a worm on a hook, you literally have to impale the creature. I mean, like you stick it on there and then you halfway through, you just rip. It's you don't want to think about it. You don't. I mean,
I agree.
It's a dangerous, and here's the thing. Fishing is just sort of like, to me, it hits all, it's cruel on every level. Cause then you use that to catch the fish that you stick the hook through the thing. I mean, I get it. Like if you're fishing cause you want to eat something, and you catch a fish and you skin it and you cook it and you eat it, it's a circle of life, baby.
Yeah.
But that's not the way that we fished when I was a kid. Like we go out to the pond. You go to the Hurricane Reservoir or whatever, and you catch a fish, you look at it and throw it back, because it's tiny. You can't eat it.
Sport fishing.
Yeah, sport fishing, right. But in terms of the creepy crawlies, I would put worms at the least freaky. I mean, I agree with you. We have centipedes in our house. They're actually a species of centipede called house centipedes.
Yeah.
And they're freaky.
Horrific. Yeah.
They're freaky. But what I've read is that they're actually good because they don't hurt you and they eat a lot of the insects that do cause you pain and suffering.
I hear that about different bugs. Like, oh, they're good. It's good. I don't care. I don't want any of the bugs in here, but I mean,
you have no quarter to the bugs.
I've got a thing with bugs. If I don't see them, they can do what they want. But the second they come home into view, they die. Now, the chud, he's a lover of life.
He is.
He had a pet. He had a pet Crooked for like 12 months, a solid year. I mean, who knew Crookeds could live that long in captivity or out of captivity? He would feed it and stuff, but some people like it, but not me. In terms of the fishing, you're right. I agree with you about clicking the boxes of yuck, but I don't even like to eat fish. So there is no good side to fishing to me. I don't like any part of it. So, yeah. I could do away with the whole worm situation.
Now, this game, though, Aaron, allows me to explore the life of the worm from their perspective. So, before we even get into it.
It's pretty interesting. Yeah, I never thought of it that way.
Yeah. But, Aaron, before we talk about worms, it's time to talk about this week's Amiga News.
Oh, man, here it goes.
Amiga News.
Right out of the gate, Pixel Addict magazine. This comes to us. This is a new magazine, a digital culture magazine, is what they bill themselves as.
Look at this cover too.
This is by the same team that brought us Amiga Addict. This is Simulant and his crew, and this is the debut issue with the cover story is Steve Jobs and Bill Gates.
What a couple geeks! Look at these two geeks. Yeah.
This is a multi-format magazine, Aaron, and this is sort of, you know, reaching beyond that kind of the niche audience, you know, that same, I don't want to call it a niche audience because that implies that it's small, but you know, the smaller audience of the Amiga, and this branches out into all classic computer users. You know, this is for everybody. What do you think about that concept, Aaron? Do you think that there's enough out there for the general classic computer user to enjoy a magazine like this?
Well, we'll see. I mean, it's hard to say, to be honest with you. I mean, I will say they, in their first issue, they clearly, they was like, what's the widest swath that we can hit? And I will say, I've not seen this picture before. And it may be super famous in some circles, this picture of
Steve
Jobs
either.
And Bill Gates sitting on the staircase. And I'm sure the guy that shot this back in the day was like, look at these two nerds. They're probably going to take this back, and they write little mustaches and beards on them and stuff. But now look at them, two of the biggest, like, you know, tech genius superstars of all time.
Yeah.
And here they are just sitting on the staircase, just looking kind of geeky. It's a provocative cover. In terms of the concept of the magazine, listen, you never know until you're going to try. The one thing they've got is a pedigree of success. Mm-hmm. So I figure, what the heck? You know, I think physical magazines are sort of making a comeback in the right market. Like you said, you called it niche. Then you corrected yourself, but I think you nailed it. I mean, this is niche-y. It could be a big niche. You know, everything's niche-y now, and that's where you get paid. You know, you have to appeal to certain people. If you really appeal to them, they'll be on board. So it might work, man. I'd say I'm looking forward to seeing what they've got to offer.
I like that word, niche-y. I'm going to start using that more.
You can use that, yeah.
Yeah. All right, Aaron. We wish them well, and we move on to the next story. Amidar 500. That's right, Aaron. Amidar. Remember Amidar on the old arcade 2600?
Machine. Yeah, I do remember that, man.
Amidar is a game, you know, I love games like this. This has kind of got a Kix vibe to it. It's one of those games where you're, you know, covering squares and collect, you know, collecting. It's sort of a Pac-Man Kix mashup, wouldn't you say?
Is this the one where you play like, I get these confused. I know this was a mainstay of the old Starcade game show back in the day. Is this the one where you switch lead characters between this is the one where sometimes you're a lawnmower and sometimes you're like a monkey?
I know that you're definitely a monkey. I don't remember you being a lawnmower. I think there's another game where you're a paint roller.
That's the one I was thinking of. Yeah I have played this.
It is. I'm watching the bonus stage right now. You definitely are a paint roller. I take it all back, man. You were right.
There you go.
You were right.
Hey, I watched a lot of Starcade back in the day. I never played this in the arcade. In fact, I'm not sure I ever saw this. I saw it all the time on TV. So I'm sitting here trying to think if I ever actually sat down and played this. I'm not sure I have. This maybe would pass me by here, dude. But
now, I started playing this one when I got the old MAME cab up and running.
Yeah.
And this game, I love games like this. I love games where you fill in stuff. You know, like Kix is always one of my favorites.
Yeah.
And this is an easier version. I think this is an easier game than Kix. It's more character driven. Like I said, it's sort of a mashup between a game like Pac-Man and a game like Kix. I'm a big fan of Amidar, and it is coming to the Amiga for the AGA. Actually, I take it back. I guess that this is coming to the A500 because this is Amidar 500. So this is JOTD, one of the giants of the Amiga community, both in doing, I think he did a lot of WHD load conversions, but then he also did, of course, Ms. Pac-Man, Pac-Man 500, the Supercars International 96, Supercars 2 AGA. He's done all of this stuff. I can't wait. Of course, this is part of this year of the arcade conversion, the Game Jam, Amiga Cami, all that stuff. It's a great time to be an Amiga gamer like you and I are that really love arcade games because there's so many of them are coming home.
These conversions that are all coming over, it's just, I just love it. I just love it. It's great. And I mean, this looks real good. You know, I mean, if you consider what the arcade looks like. And so, yes, it's very exciting. This competition's really, you talk about the making hay here. It's done a great job on loading us up with goodies. I love it.
Right. So be on the lookout. I guess the video that was posted over on Indie Retro News saying that it is almost complete. So I'd imagine it will be released very soon.
Sweet. I love it.
Now, Aaron, this next video comes to us from Modern Vintage Gamer. This thing dropped right on the new year, January 3rd. And it's a short video all about Another World. Now, of course, there's a million videos done on Another World. We covered Another World on the show a couple months ago. But this one really goes into the tech that made Another World so cool. And it does it in such a way that we could never do, because it breaks down. It breaks down exactly what's going on from a technical perspective that allowed a game like Another World to run on hardware that it really shouldn't have been able to. You know, it talks about all the different tricks that were used in terms of the multiplanar bitmaps and a lot of the lighting effects and stuff like that that made this thing look to make it, you know, the technical achievement that it was. Another World, not one of my favorite games at the end of the day, but you can't deny that it is a work of art, wouldn't you say?
Yes, I like Modern Vintage Gamers channel, and I haven't got to see this yet. It's been the first time I've even heard about this, but this sounds great. He goes, that game is a title that does escape what you would expect, especially back in that time, for a game to look like. And so I'm definitely going to check that out. And that's a good channel, too, just to, like, add. That does a lot of good stuff.
Yeah, yeah. This next one, Aaron, isn't really a bit of Amiga news, but it's just a tweet that I found. And so sometimes I like to share these because I think they're cool. This is a picture that I'd never seen before. This is an Amiga lab, Aaron, with bench seating. So it looks like this is a lab full of what looks like, would you say those are 500s or 1200s? Can you tell?
Well, the disk drives are the old style disk drives. So mm-hmm. one would think that maybe this was the five. Eyes aren't good enough. And that picture's pretty grainy.
But I have not seen, I have never seen or heard of a computer lab being made up with nothing but Amigas before. Have you?
I've never seen one. Now, in this country, despite what you may have heard, it didn't happen. I don't know any schools that had these, like normal schools that had Amigas in them. But boy, that's something. That's a lot of money sitting right there, too. That didn't come cheap.
No. So this comes to us from Robin at 8-Bit Show and Tell. And this is just a tweet from this person. I don't know if Robin is, I don't know if it's a guy or a girl. So Robin at 8-Bit Show and Tell has tweeted this out, and it's just a neat picture.
Well done.
Thank you. All right, Aaron. Next up, we have a melancholy happy trails to Just Add Water founder Stuart Gilray. Stuart Gilray passed away earlier this week, aged 51, far too soon for a man of his stature. This is reported on by Eurogamer. He was known for being on the team of many, many games, including quite a few Amiga games. I think that he is most known lately for the Oddworld series. He was the creative director of Oddworld Stranger's Wrath. But he produced, Aaron, Perfect Pinball, Pinball Illusions, Pinball World, Pinball Dreams 2, and Pinball Fantasies.
Oh, wow. So,
What a list of games there. He also, Aaron, coded Rubicon. He was the coder for Rubicon, a game that we just covered a couple weeks ago.
So 51,
yeah,
is too young. And that hits close to home, yeah. I'll be honest with you. I don't know what happened to this poor fella, but boy.
I believe that this was complications related to COVID.
Oh, so. It does say that here. Well, that sucks. Well, listen. Condolences to his family, his friends, his co-workers. He left his mark. It's a shame. The unpleasantness has taken a lot of people in its wake, a lot of creative people. And this is just another poor fella. I hope he had a good life, and I hope he got everything done that he could.
Yeah. All right, Aaron. Now we move on to some happier news as we enter our news segment. You have several upcoming events you'd like to share with us.
Oh, yes, absolutely. So I want to talk about, and we got to get this out of the way here before I forget. That's why I told Boat we had to do it early. We got a lot of stuff coming up in the next month or so, and we usually talk about this at the end of the show, but I'm going to talk about it here now just on the basis that I think there'll be more people seeing it now. So right out of the gate, we're going to talk about our scheduled event that's coming up on January 29th. International Computer Club Boat.
Ooh.
It's a biggie every time we do it. And these things don't come around all off. We try to do maybe two a year, Boat. And so, and you never know when they're going to go away. It depends on how aggravating and how much of a disaster it is. They may never come back unless Boat wants to take up the mantle. But this time around, we're going to kick this thing off a boat early to accommodate people from all different time zones. Because one thing about the International Computer Club is it usually runs long. And so we're going to try to help out our folks over in Europe with a 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time start time. We're going to run until we're done, Boat. These things can run, I mean, they'll run bare minimum 3 hours and usually a little bit more. And if you're not familiar with the International Computer Club, what it is a gathering of people. We just get together in Discord and everybody comes on and we have presenters that come on. We've had everything from people that talked about ZX graphical programming techniques, 3D printing, a Flack did a demonstration on how to make an animated a movie poster out of like a big monitor. We've had that.
People
we've had
share book, their book collections.
Book, yeah, book reports. We had people go around and show us their game rooms, their collections. We've had plenty of that. We've had all sorts of Amiga stuff. We've had all sorts of interesting Coco stuff, products, upcoming products. We've had L. Curtis Boyd, Chris Edwards. Get involved in it. We've had a lot of different people that have been involved in the International Computer Club, and you are welcome to get involved. There's a sign-up sheet in our Discord. If you would like to sign up to do a presentation, if you're not a member of the Discord and you're still interested in doing a presentation, but what's the email they could get in touch with us if they were interested in something like that?
That would be Aaron@AmigosPodcast.com.
Yes, just drop me a note. And this, if you want to show up on the night of International Computer Club and watch the event, you've got two ways to do it. We'll be streaming the event on Twitch. So if you're watching this on Twitch right now, then same exact channel. If not, you can show up. Again, that'll be the 29th at 4 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Or if you're part of our Discord, you can actually take part in the event. Even if you're not doing a presentation, feel free to come into the Discord room. And you can join up and watch the event, be on video. We usually have quite a few people that just come to watch the event. We talk to them, see what they're up to. It's a good time. We've got a few more spots left on the sign-up sheet. So if you've got something you'd like to talk about, just hop on there and fill it out. It's in the Discord channel. So that's International Computer Club. Okay, next on the docket. You'll recall, Boat, that during the Amigathon, I set a certain limit to do a certain stream, and the limit was surpassed big time. They went way past the limit, and so it's a long story, but people have been pestering me for 6 months to do an all Barbie game stream, and so your wish is granted because next week, that will be Friday the 14th, at my usual start time of 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Yes, this will, in fact, be the long-awaited All Barbie stream. All Barbie games all the time. I'll be playing every Barbie game I can play in a two-hour period, and we'll see how it goes. Should be a lot of fun, or not. Actually, it should be torturous for me, but it should be amusing for everyone else. So the Barbie stream will be at that time. Lastly, Boat, I want to talk about two Fridays from now. That's Friday, January 21st, will be the January edition of Conversations from the Dark Side. I've had a lot of people talking to me about when this is coming back or if it was coming back. We did it 4 episodes in October. We're going to probably do maybe one a month. I think that's more than enough, Boat, for that show. But it's a lot of fun. And this time out, we're going to be talking about UFO encounters. All right, so UFO encounters. We have a phone number that you can call during the show. We have live chatting during the show. We take emails, the whole nine yards. I'll have a little more about that next week, some contact information. But I just want to get your brains to be thinking about UFO encounters. That'll be coming up in two Fridays from now on Conversations from the Dark Side. I think that's all I got, Boat.
All right. Well, that's a lot to look forward to. We've certainly got your weekends are set from here on out in terms of things to do. So, Aaron, I think that it's time to talk a little bit about one of the guys that makes this show happen each and every week, and that is our buddy Frank over at RetroRewind.ca.
Frank is a good guy. Frank's got a lot going on, and Frank is your hookup for all the Amiga, Commodore 64, C16, CDTV, CD32, anything you could possibly need, Frank's got it. And recently added was COCO support, color computer support, including the very popular SDC, the COCO, the card-based input-output device for your cartridge slot. Boat, you didn't know jack squat about the COCO. You picked one of these things up, and how'd it do for you?
Oh my gosh, it is definitely the best multi-cart interface I've ever used, and I have them all. I've got EverDrives, I've got the Div MMC Future, I've got the SDIEC thing for the C64. The COCO it's the easiest to use. It's got the best GUI. It loads up instantly, and it makes using the killer computer just an absolute joy. That's all I can say.
It's a must purchase if you've got a killer computer, specifically a 2 or 3. Listen, you've heard us talk about Frank's recapping service. Now, you can buy caps from Frank, capacitors. He'll send you the full kit. You can do it yourself. But if you're the kind of person who doesn't feel comfortable getting into your own computer, listen, I'm a good hand, Boat, with the old soldering iron, but I've never recapped my stuff strictly on the basis that I don't want to feel the guilt and displeasure with myself when I go in there and screw something up, because even an experienced old-school solder hand can drop the ball, brother. Mm-hmm. You know, I was just watching one of Doug's videos, Tinmark, and he was going to recap one, and something went wrong. Listen, it doesn't make Doug a hack. It's tough. These things are tough. These boards are old. That solder's old. You're doing yeoman's work in there. Don't bust your hump, man. Pack that sucker up. Send it up north, up to Canada, to Frank at RetroRewind.ca. He'll take care of it for you. He's a professional, and I mean at the top level, with decades and decades of experience. Plus, he's got machines at his hands that you don't have. It's not like he's just going there with a big, fat $10 Radio Shack soldering iron and a block of solder he bought 15 years ago and giving it a whirl. He's got all the latest crap. He's taking care of business new school, so you don't have to worry when you send your stuff up there. And he does it on the cheap, Boat.
Yeah, and you can be even cheaper. If you use the promo code AMIGOS10 at checkout, you will save 10% off any order. So Frank's prices are already insanely cheap. You can save an additional 10% by using the code AMIGOS10. We do thank Retro Rewind for being the official sponsor of the Amigos podcast.
And hopefully we'll be at Boat Fest if everything goes well, Boat.
All right, Aaron, it's time to talk about worms.
Bam. So we're going back to the past here and having another look at worms. Now, we're going to sort of talk about worms in two different time periods here. The original worms and how that came to be. And then I looked, and I know Boat did as well, at the director's cut, which was the last, one of the last Amiga games that were released officially, and certainly the last worms for the Amiga. And we're going to have a look at that too. So, Boat, the original version of worms came out in the Amiga in 1995.
I think that's worth mentioning right now, because this game came out essentially after the demise of Commodore.
Things were on the spin, that's for sure.
The sale to SCOM had happened and was in the process of imploding. This was really one of the last commercial hurrahs of the system.
Yeah. This was developed, of course, by Team 17, published by Ocean. Designed by Andy Davidson. Now, Bo, I think you've told this tale a few times about Andy getting this thing published. You give him the quick rundown of what happened here.
So Andy developed this game called Total Wormage, and it was basically a prototype version of Worms. And he shopped it around. Nobody was interested. There had been artillery games before, Scorched Earth. Tank games are a dime a dozen on computers.
Yeah.
But then he took this thing to a trade show And it basically, well, actually, before then, he entered it in a competition. I believe it was a magazine programming competition.
Yeah, it absolutely was. Yes. And he didn't win.
Not only did he not win, I don't think he came in the top 10. I think like the top 10 entries got prizes.
It was Amiga format. They dropped the ball right there. So you can, I would have named them so people would know.
And so, but anyway, he brought it to a trade show and it caught the attention of Team 17, who decided to publish it. That's sort of how it came to be.
Yeah, it's funny how it works. And this is one of those things. And think, now I want you to think just for a minute. Don't think of the Amiga 1995, 1997. Think of, it's 2022, okay? How many Worms games have been released? And how much money has this franchise generated over the past, you know, what, 25 years? It's unbelievable. And you could pinpoint the exact time where someone was like, yeah, we'll give that a whirl. You know, I don't know who that guy was, but he deserves a bonus, but he's still there because he's made Team 17. It's kept them in the game.
It's sort of interesting because at the time, Team 17 was basically just, I think, three people basically at the top that were making the decisions. And so I believe it was sort of a group effort where they looked at this thing and they said, yeah, this can work. What's funny is that after they talked to him at the trade show, they lost his contact information and they had to contact Amiga Format to get it.
Wow. I never heard that one. That's crazy. Yeah,
crazy.
So again, this was designed by Ann Davidson and with help from Chris Blythe, produced by Martin Brown, and the artist on this, Rico Holmes, and the composer, Bjorn Lynn. This game, you know, once he had the basic concept for it, when you put this, when you look at this game, and like Boat said, these tank games are a dime a dozen, but what he did here with the original Worms was he took the concept of a tank, an artillery game, and just, he just goosed it a little bit. Someone mentioned Scorch Tanks. That comes up a lot. And they had sort of started the idea of doing something like that. But this thing took it and really expanded upon it and then added the element of the cute little guys that should be blowing up back and forth. And that's a magic formula. Of course, in the game Worms, you've got a team of worms, literal worms, on a landscape. And your goal is to assassinate and murder all of your enemy worms. Through various weapons that you have on hand. You have everything from guns to grenades to bazookas. You control these weapons by first aiming them, and then depending on the weapon, it will change how they're controlled. Some weapons, like grenades, you hold down your button long enough to add to how far you're going to throw it. Then you let go, it throws it. Sort of almost like a golf game boat. And then some weapons just hold the button down and it sort of, like guns, just sort of shoot. Different weapons have different abilities. Then you also get some stuff that helps you travel. There's a lot of movement in the game because you move your worms around this landscape that's also deteriorating as parts of it get blown away. I mean, really, do you remember when you first saw Worms? But what was your thoughts on it?
I remember exactly when I first saw Worms. Yes. This was a game that the Brent brought over to my house, my parents' house, of course, because we're still living at home. This was when I had first met the Brent, and he was introducing me to the delightful world of software piracy on the PC.
Yeah.
And he brought this thing
over.
That
sounds like him.
And it was something crazy. It was like 10 discs. It seemed like it was like a million discs. But anyway, I got all the discs. And then that was my bargaining chip. That was my way into the scene, because if you're going into the scene, you got to have something to offer. So I could offer Worms. This game, I'd played a game on the Mac over at the Lily's house called Tank. And that was the first game that I played that was like this. But this game was so far beyond.
Yeah.
It took that concept and it brought it to a whole nother level. It's definitely one of the seminal gaming experiences in my life. The first time I played Worms, for sure.
Yeah. Now, you weren't playing the original version, right?
I was playing the original Worms.
Really? Okay. Great. That's awesome. Then. Yeah. So,
because this is in 1995, it was the only version of Worms.
Well, it's hard to remember the whole layout of it, but that's cool. I was wondering because I never played this version ever.
Yeah. It wasn't until Worms 2. Yeah. It wasn't until Worms 2 where they changed the art style.
Yeah, the one I remember playing the most, I'm not sure I'd ever played Worms before, and I'd heard of it, was Worms World Party on the Dreamcast. that's where I played it the most. I mean, I knew about Worms. I may have played it on like the PlayStation or something. I don't think I ever played it on the Amiga. But I mean, because by 95, I was out. You know, I was out of the game, you know, at that point. So guess what? The original Worms did pretty good, Boatster. According to the statistics, by March of 96, its sales had reached almost 250,000 copies. And then across all ports, it says here, it ultimately sold above 5 million units in 2006. Now, I'm sure they're rolling in some of the other Worms into that. But that's
still an amazing number.
You know, one of the things that got me, though, on the original Worms was I looked at a bunch of reviews for it, and it reviewed pretty well. But not always. And often people kept saying that, like, all this is like another type of Lemmings. Or all this is another sort of cannon fodder, right?
And which is completely ridiculous, because those games have nothing to do with this game. It shows you how these magazines operated. You know, these gaming focused magazines, where the only thing that mattered was having lots of, and these were mostly based out of the UK, at least the ones that I've seen. I'm sure that there were other ones in Europe, but we definitely didn't have magazines like this writing for the computers in America, where you just had to have a lot of attitude. You had to be very opinionated,
and
you had to have copy. You had to review every game, every issue had to review 6,000 games. And so what happened was you ended up with people that didn't actually play the game, or they might have played it for 5 minutes, came up with an opinion, and then put it out there. It's not unlike the YouTube of today.
Well, you know, And the thing is, that if you look at this game, right, without knowing what the game is, it's got little guys that move around. It's kind of funny. It's kind of war-based. And so you can see how someone could say, "Oh, it's mouse based or whatever." You're like, sure. "Oh, it's just another Lemmings." And we both know this has absolutely nothing to do with the gameplay in Lemmings or Cannon Fodder. It's completely different for both those games. But I saw that come up over and over and over when they were talking about the original game. So I wanted to mention it just because it's such a goofy thing. It struck me the same way it struck you, just odd. So that was, you know, in 95. Now, I want to flash forward, because that was the original Worms. Now, the one I played most this week, and really I had spent more time with, was Worms the Director's Cut, Boat.
Right. And what Worms the Director's Cut did was it was only for the Amiga, and it basically brought Worms up to the par of the original DOS release. If you play the original DOS release of Worms, it is pretty identical to Worms Director's Cut.
Right. So the Director's Cut came out a couple years later in 97. Again, this was Team 17 behind it, but basically Ocean sort of just distributed this for them. They had a weird setup here. And it, apparently this was very well known. Like, they made this very clear that Team 17 was saying goodbye to the Amiga. This was going to be the last showdown. Right. And this was sort of a favor. And what they wanted to do was, and this is a direct quote, they wanted to release the ultimate game for the Amiga on their way out. And so,
which is great. It's a fantastic send-off. Absolutely.
It is great. Now, this one had some additional people that worked on it. There was some coding done by a fellow named Mark Fitt. There were some additional backgrounds. This one has much better backgrounds in it than the other one did. It's got much better animations in it. This one was AGA only, Boat. Okay, so you've got that going for you. Mm-hmm. This one also, you've got to remember, this is 97. So by this time, even back in the day, a lot of people had juiced up their Amigas quite a bit. And right. So there were,
if you were still on the platform, chances are you were running something on there.
Absolutely, Boat. Exactly. And so these people were catered to by Team 17 in this case, because if you had more memory, you would get more dialogue. You know, there were advantages to having it. It would run better. You know, so they catered to these people. It also had hard disk installation on disk one, so you could actually put this on your hard drive and play it, which would be good, which was a good deal.
Yeah. Even on the original Worms, though, if you had extra memory, then you would get more levels. Like, for example, if you just had a stock Amiga 500, all you would get was the Arctic, Hades, forest, and Mars.
Right.
But if you had more memory, you would add the desert, the alien zone, the tropics, the jungle, the scrapyard. You had to have 2 mega chip RAM to get to those, even on the original worm. So
what do you,
this game from the get-go was sort of catering towards those higher-end Amigas.
You know, what do you think about that, Bud? I mean, that I've always enjoyed when companies put those little extras in there. To, I mean, because they, you know... There's a little provocation to upgrade your Amiga unless you're going to get some of this action. So really, it's beneficial to everybody.
Yeah.
By
1995, even if you were running an ECS OCS Amiga, you probably had upgraded. You know, you probably had that RAM. I can't imagine there were a lot of people that were still running a stock Amiga 595. I mean, maybe there were some, but
well,
it definitely
still
wasn't
using
the
majority. Them. Often,
and still
yeah.
using it, right?
Yeah. Right. Right. So what was changed on here? Well, for starters, you've got 300 colors on the screen, okay? You've got better textures. They've added different level maps, which caverns weren't available in the first go-around. They added 14 new weapons, including one that would stick around for a while, the old Holy Hand Grenade of Antioch. If you're a big, Monty Python fan, you understand what that was. And just the scrolling was better. It was just an all-around smoother experience. I mean, listen, they didn't reinvent the wheel here, did they, Boat? But the texturing, the colors, it's just a better-looking, better-playing game.
Yeah, I mean, there is no reason for you to play the original Worms on the Amiga. You just play a director's cut.
It also added, Boat, a level editor. So now this... I'm going to say I've never fiddled with this, but I can see where a level editor might be fun. Now, of course, Worms randomly generates its maps, and it's with a crazy algorithm or whatever, but it would be kind of neat to make your own maps. And I know that there are map packs out there if you nose around. So I've never actually tried one of those, but it might be kind of fun to fool with. Of course, this game was well received because at that point, you could have released a blank disc that said Amiga's great and put it in the mail and sent it to a magazine. They'd probably give you 4 stars because they were desperate. It was 97. They wanted some action. This got a review on Lemon of 8.64. Amiga Format gave it a 90, and CU Amiga gave it a 91. They were still around in late 96, early 97, and it did well. But here's the funny thing. This game only sold 5,000 copies worldwide. So if you've got a copy of this, you're doing pretty good for yourself. I could not find any on eBay. Did you?
Yeah.
See
well, you
any
know,
other?
Obviously this was done as sort of, like you said, a love letter to the Amiga, the machine that launched Team 17.
Yeah.
You know, but at the same time, the reason why everybody was moving off the Amiga, other than the fact that it was a outdated platform, was that piracy was so rife.
Yeah.
And I guarantee you, there's a lot more than 5,000 copies of Worms Director's Cut out there. They're just on written on floppy disks.
Oh yeah, you got that right. You know, I looked up, the last time we covered this, Boat, or the first time, the only time, which was way back in episode 47, which was June of 2016, somewhere in that ballpark, Boat. I hadn't gotten to play the director's cut that much at the time, but the original Worms was a fun game. But like you said, I think you summed it up. There is no reason to go back and play the original when you've got this one around. This is a better game all around and really has aged quite well. Like, you can go pick this up right now, and if you're a Worms player, it doesn't take anything to get right back into it.
Well, here's the thing that I don't know if everybody understands.
Yeah.
Worms was pretty much perfect from the get-go.
Yeah.
It wasn't one of these games that took 2 or 3 iterations to get right. Like, if you play the original Worms, not the director's cut, everything is in place. The ninja rope, all of the physics around that, and the thing that makes this game head and shoulders above every other tank artillery type game out there is the mobility of your Worms. The way that you can jump around, you're always playing the card of like, oh, if I jump too far, you're going to land. It's going to be the end of the turn, or you accidentally jump in the water, or you do crazy things with the ninja rope and you end up dying and everybody laughs. That is the reason why Worms is genius. Okay.
Yeah.
That's what
great
sets it
party
up.
Game. Yeah.
That and the fact that you have so many different Worms on your team. So you introduce the whole thing where you accidentally kill your own Worms. It's hilarious. You know, there is so much fun to be had with a game like this. And I know sort of, you know, the tradition continues. You guys play that shell shock game on Saturday nights. But because it doesn't have the same sort of movement mechanics that Worms has, it's always going to be missing a certain something.
Listen, I love Shell Shock Live. We play it all the time, but it's not in the same stratosphere as Worms. Worms, yeah. you nailed it. I agree with what you said. So here's an interesting tidbit here, just to kind of bring us down to a close. This game actually got an updated version around May of 2018. They actually went to
really
had an updated to fix a few things. I think that's kind of cool. You can tell the guys over at Team 17, these guys, they love the Amiga. It probably killed them to leave it, if I'm honest. And now I've played Worms Golf, Worms Pinball, so they love the Worms as well.
Well, you know, Worms is what kept Team 17 afloat and probably still continues to keep Team 17 afloat until this day. However, they have come back in the past 5 or 6 years, and they've really become a pretty decent indie publisher. They published The Escapists, which was a very highly rated prison escape game that was a, you know, sort of an indie game. Of course, they continued to do tons and tons and tons of Worms games. They did it. Did you know there was an Alien Breed game that came out on Xbox 360? It was sort of an isometric 3D game.
Yeah.
Of course, but Worms is the cash cow of the company. And, you know, it's funny that you mentioned that, you know, when you throw the grenade, it is kind of like playing a golf game, because there's a Worms Golf, Worms Crazy Golf.
Yeah. And in fact, I love that game. Me and Luke play. It's way better than Cincy Golf, I can tell you, that we've tried. And there's also Pinball, which is not good. But yeah, I will say, you know, just to finish my thoughts on it, as we mentioned that this got compared to Lemmings a lot and to Cannon Fodder, there is one thing that they both have in common, and you sort of nailed it. And what they have in common is they nailed a winning formula right out of the gate. Mm-hmm. Like Lemmings, you could sit down and play that right now. It's rock solid. It's fun. It makes you think. It's clever. It's cute. And Cannon Fodder, very similar. It's a game that it worked. They knew the formula, and it was instantly working. So you could absolutely compare Worms to those other two games in that department. But in terms of gameplay, not so much.
Yeah.
We get any Discord action on this boat?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. It turns out Worms, pretty popular game. Pretty popular game among our Discord members. We're gonna start things off with David Hearn Ryder. He says Worms on the Amiga was excellent. A great take on Scorched Earth with far more humor, many more interesting weapons, and some other cool innovations like being able to teleport. The destructible scenery also added another dimension, enabling the player to find devious ways to destroy Worms. Being able to kill your teammates was also a clever touch, along with the random crates of goodies that used to turn up. Despite the overt humor, the mechanics were solid, and the original game is my favorite. Importantly, unlike Worms from your pet dog, these Worms were loads of fun and didn't require a trip to the pharmacy. 8 out of 10. Ricky DeRocher says, what's not to like about Worms? 10 out of 10. Enough said. Lord Soup says, incoming! 9 out of 10.
Yeah.
Carl writes, whilst lacking the polish and refinement of the later releases, there is still something special about the simplicity and purity of the original. Whilst, in my opinion, best enjoyed multiplayer amongst friends due to the often unfair and cheating AI, which always tends to land the perfect grenade or bazooka shot for the win.
That's true.
I still have warm memories of collecting a big box copy of Director's Cut from HMV 1 year with Christmas money as a young teenager after wearing out my CU Amiga cover disc copy. 8 out of 10. So Carl has one of those 5,000. Hold
there
on to
go.
That, Carl.
Well done, Carl.
And finally, Pixels at Dawn writes, it's almost hard to remember a time before Worms. When this turned up on the market, similar games were static artillery games with maybe the option to jostle your tank left and right or teleport across the playfield. With Worms, you suddenly had the option to navigate the whole battleground, causing devastation wherever you went, digging through the landscape and swinging like Indy from ropes. It really was a revelation, and this original version still holds up today as one of the best party games of all time. While later versions complicated matters with fancier graphics and burdensome numbers of weapons, the original Amiga version is a clean and simple game where a well-placed grenade can be just as effective as a full-on airstrike. And I still have disc after disc of custom levels people drew in deep paint, so you can find yourself battling it out on a kitchen worktop or the logo of your favorite football team if that's your bag. An absolute classic, 9.5 out of 10.
Very
great
good.
Reviews this week, Aaron.
Yeah. Very good. Well written reviews. And again, just to close the book on it, I got no action on eBay, and I got I didn't see anything with the director's cut. So good luck. If you find one and you get a decent price on it, I would pick it up toot sweet, Boat.
Yeah. All right, Aaron, let's leave Worms and check out what's been going on over on the old YouTube site.
All right, Boatster. So, I'm trying to think. We taped the last episode. Gosh, how long ago? It was over a week ago. If you didn't catch our previous Amigos, the best and worst of 2022, we had a good time, Boat, out recording that in the arcade. So if you didn't catch that last week, check it out. We just kind of go through our last year's shows and kind of pick out the games we thought that were the best, the ones that were the worst, and chatted about some stuff. We had a good time, had a blast. So check that out. And if you were looking for last Friday's New Year's Eve Spectacular, it's funny, between the announcement of the New Year's Eve Spectacular and the having a New Year's Eve Spectacular, we canceled the New Year's Eve Spectacular. guess what? The unpleasantness rolled into town. And by the way, it's a good thing we did cancel that, because it would have been bad if we'd had it. And so myself and Evil Matt got together, Boat, to have a New Year's Eve Spectacular of our own back in the arcade. It's on Twitch right now. If you want 6.5 hours of Amigo Aaron and Evil Matt, and then eventually we were joined by Good Matt, the Chud, and John Marshall for in what turned into the concert event of the year. So that's over on Twitch. I couldn't even think about bringing that over to YouTube. They'd throw us out of here. But we had a good time, and I want to thank Evil Matt and the Chud and Good Matt and John Marshall for at least stopping by to liven up the evening. And we will try next year, once again, to have a New Year's Eve Spectacular. And hopefully, we won't get hammered by the unpleasantness, Boat.
We'll just get hammered.
Well done, Boat. So, first on the docket this week, it's myself and it's the Brent. We were at it again this week on ARG. It was Dreamcast time, Boatster. Yeah. And we haven't, you know, it's funny, you'd think that we'd covered the Dreamcast a million times. We'd only covered it once. This time out, we looked at Dreamcast games. The one Brent chose was called Metropolis Street Racer. And then I picked a game I'd never played before on the Dreamcast called Star Lancer. Star Lancer by the brother of the fellow that brought you Wing Commander. And the brother also helped on this on Wing Commander. And this ended up being a really great game. If you're a Wing Commander fan, this was a heck of a fun game. I mean, I can't give it a
praise. Amazing. It looks like freaking Elite Dangerous.
Dude, it's awesome. It's got a good heads up. I mean, cut scenes in it that are like of the era. You know what I mean? Like we think we can do 3D cut scenes, you know, but it was good. And then if you're a fan of like just straight up racing games, like your Gran Turismo's or the that Xbox, whatever Microsoft's version of that is, Brent's MSR is another excellent game. This racing game is very good. And I've not played this either. So we wanted to play two things we never played before, and we did. So we had a good time. Check us out if you're into the Dreamcast. We had a lot of fun on that one, Boat. Now, here's one. I love your headline here. Drunk NFTs. Ask the Amigos, December 21st. Tell us about this one, Boat. You remember recording this?
Well, this is we did this right after the Best Of show, so
that
we were still the lights were still set on the old set.
Yeah.
We broke down, you know, Discord had a lot of questions for us, and we answered them, including my initial NFT investment. You can hear how that turned out on the show. But we answer all kinds of other questions, gaming and non-gaming related.
Yeah, we should keep that set. That's awesome. I love that. Yeah. But so if you're into listening to me and Boat just jabber about questions, we had a good time, and we dressed good, too. You might as well take that in, because that ain't going to happen again. That tie in sports jacket ain't coming back out unless I got to go to court. I can tell you that right or my own funeral. What about this, Boat? You've been a busy boy. Tell the people what you're up to here. I know you've done it before, but reiterate what you're doing here.
Yeah,
this
so, really, you know, good. Slowly but surely, I'm taking our early videos that did not have episodes that did not have a video component, and I'm adding a video component and also sort of tweaking the audio quality to make it a little bit more listenable. And what I've done this again, you know, we did 5 or 6 arcade spectaculars, Aaron, where we covered between 70 and 80 games per episode in a rapid fire fashion.
I don't know what we were thinking.
Yeah. And so what I did was I took our little review of Paperboy I added some video to it. And then, you know, back in the day, we used to actually record ourselves playing the game after the episode.
Yeah, we're just going to do that again, aren't we, Boat?
We should. We should. Yeah. We really should. And anyway, I combined those two videos together to make, you know, one sort of episode. So I call this Amigos episode 62.1 remastered. So if you want to hear our thoughts on Paperboy from way back in 2016, you can check that out.
And then see us play it.
Yeah.
Yeah. This has been very well received too, Boat. I mean, Boat puts a lot of work in on this stuff, but I mean, I have to say that's the best that show ever looked. I can tell you that right now. So check that out. Paperboy. Paperboy. Great. We love Paperboy. Now.
Yeah.
Our boy, the Flaxer, he's back from vacation, back with a vengeance, Boat. And this time out on Sprite Castle Plays, the Flaxer is taking on the Wizard of War. The Wizard of War on C64. This is an awesome, awesome port. Watch out, Bally Astrocade, because maybe this may be the new front runner for best port. This looks great. Flight goes through a couple different versions of the old Wizard of War. There's one here, but you got to see. Because it's a combination of Wizard of War and Pac-Man that someone made up. Yeah. So check this out. If you're watching at home, picture the Wizard of War maze with dots in it and one Energizer. And instead of playing one of the guys with a gun, you're Pac-Man. And you've got to go get the Energizer so you can go eat the other monsters.
Kind of cool. Kind
of
cool.
It's cool. I know, man. I never heard of it. That's the kind of sweet, sweet action you get from our good buddy Flack. So make sure you check this out. Sprite Castle Plays Wizard of War. Also check out his podcast, Sprite Castle, which is great. And also check out his other podcast, You Don't Know Flack. And I hear tell he has announced yet another podcast on this show. He announced another podcast. He's trying to hork your gimmick, Boat. 50 podcasts. And he's going to be doing a DOS podcast coming soon. So we'll just leave it there. But he did announce it on here. So it's something to look forward to from Jack Flack, Rob O'Hare.
All right.
Lastly, holy smokes, this is hot off the presses, Boat. Do you realize how hot off the presses this is from our good buddy?
55 minutes ago, this came out.
Frodo is back, and he is continuing to march through. This is like a death march through the Disney games. Frodo leaving no stone unturned. He's going from Pocahontas to Lion King 1.5. I don't know what that is, Boat. So, Retrogate's
like
based
Leonard Part 6.
Yeah, Retrogate's based on Disney Animated Movies Part 3. This is a 3+ hour Disney extravaganza with everyone's favorite buddy. Look at Frodo's beard. Look at that. I wish I could do something like that. The facial hair.
Who doesn't, man? Who doesn't?
You know, Frodo's he's a handsome fellow with a great beard. And now he's a handsome fellow with a great beard playing 3.5 hours of Disney games, Boat. He's a man of great patience as well. Did I mention that? Listen, Frodo is a I was there when Frodo started streaming, you know, and now he's some kind of bona fide superstar. I mean, that's a shoot, by the way. So come check Frodo out because he holds court in his room. He's got a ton of people in there having a good time, and he's always up to no good. So check him out. Again, that's Frodo, part 3 of his Disney animated movie games.
Awesome.
I think that's all we got this time around, Boatster.
All right. Well, you know, before we wind things down, Aaron, we've got to thank all the fine folks that make this show happen, including our awesome Patreon supporters. Now, I can't remember. I don't think that I announced the winner of last week's Patreon song contest because I really had to pee at the end of the best of show, and I had to get out of there. So I'll do it now. The winner of last week's, or like 8 weeks ago, the last Patreon song competition we did, Flagpole Sitta, Aaron. Flagpole Sitta by Harvey Danger.
Yeah.
Paul Kitching got
that band.
Pixels at Dawn got it, and Mitsuyama. Ironically, three people from the UK, although I guess that it is the theme song of some UK show, so maybe that's why. But I was seriously expecting more people to get that song. I thought that was more well known than what it was.
Did that band ever do anything else ever?
No, they would much like Frankie Goes to Hollywood. They had a difficult
stole my
second
thunder.
Out.
You stole my thunder right there. I was going to have a callback.
All right, Aaron, get ready because I'm doing the Patreon song live.
Oh,
week.
Sweet Georgia Brown. Oh, gosh. No,
here we go.
Don't tell you what it is.
John at amigospodcast.com. RSN 887. Albert Kim, we like what we like. Mr. Chipita Price, Herman V. Wanderly Chesham, Mark Rich and David Hearn, Chris Edwards, Ram, okay, Rom, okay, David Terris, Giancarlos, Matthew Mobius, The Phantom Magnus, Seth Yates, Alistair Fiend, Christopher Russell, David Z, George Ozanski, The Amiga Show, Daniel Crabtree, Super Family King, Crazy Loomis, William Vintage, Scott Heavy Systems, Inga Bundy, Frank, Lord Mark Byland, Olaf Hopomsky, Alien Breeder, David Velociraptor, Cowboy Bo Lane Denson, Daniel Williams, Luke Hudson, John Cook, Bomb the Bass, Frodo in Hell, Solon Sazer, Tech Major, and Mr. Cola Merlin Lucas, Jerry Dennington, Zorglub Reflection, Simon Liss, Captain Crispy, Killer Bites, Caffeine, Gary, Heather, Gillis, Kate Fox, David Pickford, Cameron Armstrong, Andy Jones, Lobster Manator, 10-Minute Amiga, Retrocast, Burlock Win, RMC, Tim Druzosa, Ferris, and Kyle Leto, Rob O'Hara, Matthew Lemore, Andy Craig, Sonzo Bachman, Roland Burke, Andrew the Monks, Joe the Zombie, Leif Kellan, Allen Kebab, Chakotay, Level Lord, John Marshall, Matthew Perrault, Reggae the Russell, Craven, Dead Boy, Figure City, The Slow Norris, Stefan Sogard, Mortensen, Edwin Helen, Christopher Ravi Abbott, Chris Foles, Lauren Giroux, Graham Bebke, Adam Battersby, O'Brien's Retro and Vintage, Gary Hucker, Paul Harrington, Duncan Styles, Tapes from the Crib, Josh Nan, Big Man, Adam Bradley, Jonas Rouleau, GSG, Eric Nissen, Kim Domi, Huma Saturn, Daniel Bixen, Brutal Barracuda, Jason Gold, Jared Goles, Jason Walls, Pixels at Dawn, and Kjolbjorn Barman.
Were you playing an invisible sax? What was going on with your hands? Did the arthritis kick in?
That was my big man.
What does that mean? You said big man, and I don't know what that means. What is that? Does it mean something?
It does.
Is it dirty? Why are you giggling like that? Is that what you call your cup? Your big cup?
Oh, man.
What?
We'll save that for the next Patreon song.
Whoa. My God, you know that you were that was a demand performance right there. It's a good thing you put that out. I was getting some heat because of you, even though that was hideous.
All right, so we also want to thank all of our Twitch subscribers, Aaron. You know, we record this show live every week on twitch.tv/AmigosRetroGaming, and we want to thank Da Krabs, MTG, Trap Shot Live, Negsol, Back to 8-Bit with Hermsky, Still Adolescing, Frodo NL, Demo Scene TV, Real Retro Dude, Edvin Helland, Gary Heather, Buck Owens, Steve Burtz, Paco Take, Monzames, Uram, Lamasta, Zuperdan, Captain Chaos DK, Thurso Bard, Am I Steph, Blow Jellyfish, John Marshall 3, Great Al G, I Am Paul H, Jigglebox, Uber Scuba Diver, Duncan Styles, M. Kelly 0904, Chronosnet, I Am Chris Folds, Qubits, Lumens 808, Butterberg, Eeyore 4077, Mitsuyama, Explorer, Beachbum 7, Amiga Live, and Scumboy for subscribing on Twitch.
Fine folks all around. Fine, upstanding folks, Boat. And you subjected them to whatever that song was. Why do you do that to these people?
And of course, we want to thank all of the people in the chat right now. They've been with us all afternoon.
Long suffering.
We've been recording almost 4 hours.
Oh, man.
This afternoon, and most of these people have been with us every step of the way. You know, I don't do this every week, but I'm going to read them all, Aaron. I'm going to recognize. You better recognize.
Oh, man. Go to work. First of all,
we got our moderators, Duncan Styles and Pixels at Dawn Gaming, doing a great job, dropping banhammers wherever necessary. We got Amiga Live with us, Atten, Barkbit, Beachbum7, Bitstorm, Blow Jellyfish, Brock101, Canadian Retro Things, Commander Root, Daw, Krabs, MTG, Delamort78, Edvin Helen from the Man Cave, Eeyore4077, dropping gift subs like she's just making it rain like this.
Yeah.
Elysian, Fox, Frodo NL, Gunner Warhorse, HSEI Ken, Jabasoft, Jane Defends Weekly, Jason Warrens, Catherine Caxips06, L. Curtis Boyle,
All hail.
Lurks, Mike A. 3000, Mitsuyama, M. Kelly, 0904, Mr. Cola, Orom, Oil of Hope, Picard, 2010, Pig Dog, 972, Pinheads, Retro Rewind, Ricky DeRocher, Remastino, Skjorbjorn, Snow Any PlayStations, Spike Trap Claire, Texas Foosballer, The Angry Viking Bear, Tongadosa, Uber Scuba Diver, BNK, Wishbone, Worlds of Rogue, and Explorer. Thank you guys so much for hanging out with us this afternoon.
Thank you, Workbit. Yeah, it was great.
All right, Aaron, let's take this thing to the house. Next week, we're playing freaking KGB.
Papers, please.
You gotta wear that shirt, man. People love it when you wear the shirt.
I get a lot of heat for that, but I'm going to wear it next week, by God. I will.
You should. All right, guys, we will see you next week. Until then,
adios.